This is the Championship Clubs Podcast, the show that shines a light on English rugby's second flight. Join us every fortnight and check us out on the socials at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new edition of the Championship Clubs Podcast. We're joined by Charlie, as ever, to look ahead to round 16 and a quick whistle-stop tour back at round 15. We'll also be joined by Amptill skipper Morgan Strong to look back on an incredible win for the Mob over Ealing in the only game of last weekend. But Charlie, welcome back. Let's get straight into round 15, the podcast derby. Doncaster 27, Pirates 27, pretty much had it all, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty mental game. Obviously, there was the early red card, which changed the game a lot for us. And look, let's be honest, Ross, we've spoken a lot off air about this. I think you boys would be pretty disappointed to have not won from 22-3 up with half an hour to go. And we were very pleased to get a draw from that situation. So a wild, wild game. I thought it was a good game to have on the live stream. Thought it was a good game. Showed a lot of what can be done in the Championship, a lot of good rugby. But you took 3 points from the game. We took two. But I'd say we were probably a lot happier with our two than you were your three, to be honest, come the final whistle.
I'd agree with that, mate. Yeah, you said that we lost there. We didn't, but it definitely felt like we did at the end of the game. I think we were 22-3 up. Scored two quick tries, extra man. We had an extra two men for a while, but we lost two to the bin as well. And yeah, penalty count was too high. I think it was 21 in the end against seven. So that's a huge, you know, that's a triple swing. That's massive. And you don't win games if you give away 21 penalties. So, you know, I think probably we would have taken a four point win from Donny. So three isn't awful, but in the circumstances, we've left two behind there a little bit. And that's going to maybe come back and bite us in the final positions. But looking at the top of the table still in round 15, Hartbury at home to Coventry. Coventry really putting down a marker there. Hartbury been going well. Coventry absolutely taking them to the cleaners, 47-17. I think it was 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah, that's a very, very impressive win for Cov. Hartbury's not an easy place to go. And look, Coventry are going to be kicking themselves with some of their results at the start of the season, because you look at what they are doing now, the win over Ealing the other week. Ealing obviously losing to Amptill, which we'll get onto with Strongy later. But if Cov had maybe not slipped up a few times there in the season, they could really be putting that pressure on Ealing. But they potentially left themselves a little bit too much to do, I think, with this little left. But a great win for them against Hartbury.
Yeah, I think the thing with Coventry as well is if you look at the table now, you see it almost came into it in the Six Nations, but you see the importance of the bonus points, and that can almost get you an extra win if you accumulate them and other teams don't that are in and around you. So yeah, I think they pick up, normally when they lose, they pick up at least two. And when they have lost a couple of those games, they accumulate them. But onto Bedford, onto Goldenton Road on Ladies Day, Bedford beating a stubborn Coldy side 27-14, maybe thought that might have been a bit more high scoring. You didn't jinx this one, but it wasn't maybe what we thought it would be.
No, I thought maybe Bedford would have scored a few more tries. But look, against Coldy, an awkward side, the main thing is you get the job done. I think as I look at producer Ryan off air, was that 5 points, Rye? Is he going to nod or shake his head? Yeah, 5 points. So it was a tough week for the kickers, with twice those five tries and only one conversion in our game and the Bedford game. But that 5 points at home against Coldy is job done. And it's one of those, we said it about Bedford's result at Cambridge of the week. Bedford maybe not having the vintage performances they want at the moment, but they're taking 5 points from games, and that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
And we're looking at onto Cambridge and Nottingham. We did say, I think you predicted actually, that Cambridge might just sneak this. Nottingham obviously coming into the game a little bit on the slide after a good early start, but they ground out an important win for them there.
Yeah, I predicted a little bit of an upset in this one, and I was wrong. So there you go. A really, really important win for Nottingham here, because it's a tough game to play against Cambridge, and they need that. Actually, they've not had their best results recently, so they need a good win here to get themselves going for a big, big game against Bedford this Friday, which we'll get onto later.
Yeah, and just finishing off around 15 there, Ealing against Scottish. Obviously, Scottish turning Ealing over for a bit of a shock earlier on in the season, and there was nearly a shock on in this one at one point. I think Scottish played some really good stuff. I think they came away with a try bonus, but ultimately Ealing had just a bit too much, racked up the 50 points in an entertaining game there.
Yeah, not many people go to Ealing, get five tries, score 35 points, and you watch the highlights, some really, really good tries from Scottish. Lovely little trick play from the line-out that almost made my moment of the week rather than the Matavesi offload. So good performance from Scottish. Like last season, they're getting better and better as the season goes on, but Ealing just too strong at the end, but won't be happy about conceding 35 at home to bottom of the table.
As we said, as a whistle-stop tour, we're desperate to get to the end of round 15 to talk about the one game that did take place last weekend. As we mentioned earlier, huge result for Amptill against Ealing. And delighted to say we're now joined by the winning skipper, Morgan Strong. Morgan, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me, bud. Cheers.
Like we say, an eye-catching win against Ealing last week, denying them a bonus point as well. I think your chairman described it as the best ever win for Amdil. Did it feel like that?
I think it did. The sun was shining, and you know the boys really performed this weekend. It's one of them. We've had these sort of performances in us all year. You know, we've had some really big wins. I think the thing for us has been finding that consistency. But going back to this game, you know, we went up the slope against the wind second half, and I think it was something like 22-0 to us to finish the game. And you know, the feeling after the game was massive, but we know we got to do it all again this weekend up in Caldy, which is a club we've struggled against a little bit this season, as they beat us in the Prem Cup and in the Championship. So that's our focus now. Is, you know, we're really grateful for the win this weekend. You know, it was a great performance from the team. You know, we got some quality boys playing for us at the minute with our partnership with Saracens, but we got to go and back it up again this weekend. That's the mindset shift straight away, was, you know, we've got to go and win this weekend now.
Yeah, Strongy, it was an unbelievable win, mate. I was absolutely glued to my phone on Saturday while I was commentating, trying to find out what was going on in breaks in the Gloucester game. And when I saw the result, I was over the moon for all the Amtel boys. I want to ask, I immediately text Tommy and Lavs. Tommy gave me a very quick cheers, mate reply. I've seen what Lavs is like after big games. I remember him after we beat Pirates down at Pirates, which was probably before this game, probably the best win in the club's history. This one absolutely eclipsed it. It's incredible to beat Ealing. And I text Lavs, said, congrats, mate, what a win. And he replied, days like this, baby, wheels up, free bar. So I want to ask, what was it like after the game with those two?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, we're still singing the song that you helped create last year, and he was in the changing room giving it full beans after the end of the game with Tommy as well. So I haven't seen a smile on Lavs' face like that for a while. And to be fair, he stuck to it. It was a pretty good bar after the game, so we can't fault it on that aspect.
Yeah, I saw the video. I think it was James Johnston's Instagram. And Lavs, when I joined Amtel for 3 or 4 years ago, Lavs wouldn't go near a smartphone. He had his Nokia and he was proud of it. I saw him there with his iPhone filming everyone celebrating the change rooms. I was like, how times have changed with Mark Lavery on an iPhone filming the celebration song.
He definitely doesn't know how to use it, mind. The footage of him holding that phone was pretty special. I think quite a few of the boys found that quite funny. So he may have one, but yeah, I'm not too sure he knows how to use it.
Charlie will come on to talk about that partnership with Saracens a little bit later on, as we mentioned there a little bit. But I remember some big words from yourself in pre-season about the expectations within the group at Amtel and maybe cracking that top four. Some of these results this season really do show that that's something that's not, you know, a million miles away, and how tight the league is, and just perhaps finding that consistency, like you say, that could lead on to those, you know, bigger and better things. You know, wins against Coventry at home as well, Doncaster away. You've got a big game in you now. You've proved that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that was one thing that quite excited me about the club when I moved here first, was, you know, one of the first things Lav said is, I want to be a top four, top three team. You know, that's quite nice to hear as a player, that, you know, your coaching staff and the leaders of the team have ambition for the club to push on. I think over both my seasons here now, though, the one thing we've lacked is consistency. Like, you know, we'll have a big win, and then the week after we'll fall apart, or we'll have a great half. You know, there's a couple of games at home this season, we're winning at halftime. You know, everything's looking good. We come out to halftime and the game's gone within 10, 15 minutes. So that's been our biggest thing this year, is finding inconsistency. And once we do find that, you know, the top four becomes a more realistic option for us. But, you know, we have to find that. And that's been the challenge for the group now, I'd say, last season and this season. And yeah, I say we've definitely got these big wins in us. We've proved that this year, gone away from home with big wins, played well at home. You know, we've tried to turn, because the club is different. You know, it's not what you'd sort of associate with semi-professional, professional rugby. We tried to use that in our advantage and make it a horrible place to come. You know, we're called the mob. We tried to turn Amtel into a place where sides don't like going. They're not used to it, and which is what we kind of showed this weekend. You know, Ealing will probably never go to a place like Amtel, but Amtel get promoted to the Championship, they're not used to going to places like that. And, you know, we can show what we can do.
I just wanted to ask, Strongy, while we've got you on. Obviously, I know what it's like being club captain at Amtel. It has its unique challenges. Like you say, it's not like a lot of other clubs, and there are challenges to it. But the bit I wanted to touch on with you was, we've always had, while I was there, a loose relationship with Saracens. That obviously this season, has, as you alluded to, has become a lot more formal, a relationship. And there's obviously the positive sides of that. I know you have access to their coaches, S&C, the great players who come. But I know when I was captain of the side, one of the hardest things to do is try and keep morale high in the squad of the boys who are signed to Hampton when there's dual reg lads who can maybe only train once a week who are coming in and playing instead. Now, it seems like with this, from the outside looking in, more formalised relationship, there's more dual reg lads coming in. How are you managing? Because I know it's a thankless task and it's hard. How are you managing the leadership role of trying to keep those boys, the boys' morale is high who aren't playing, or the boys who you need every now and again when the Saracens boys aren't available, but also fully integrating the Saracens boys and making them feel welcome? It's a really hard balancing act. So I just wanted to wonder how you're finding that.
It's definitely the same this season. We've had similar issues to what's happened before, especially with the numbers we get. Like some weekends, we can have 10, 11, 12 Saris boys training, like you say, just on a Thursday. But I think the big thing for me has been having the Saracens coaches there. They've really bought in. You know, they've sort of tried to get rid of any divide between Hampdale and Saracens. Like they've really, you know, they've come on socials. They've been a real part of the team. You know, I probably look at them and think, you know, they've sort of separated that divide from the group and brought us closer together. You know, I have to say they've been quality. So I think that's really helped my role and having them there and, you know, constant conversations just to make sure everyone's happy and on the same page. But, you know, don't get me wrong. There has been issues this season with it. You know, boys upset and they're not involved this weekend. And like you say, when the boys just drop in on Thursday, it is tough. But, you know, you have to look at it without the Saris partnership this week, this season. Our big wins have come when their boys are playing. You know, they have brought real quality to the side. You know, you just have to look at some of the boys playing against Ealing, like Ollie Hartley and Toby Knight. You know, these are boys who are Premiership standard players. So they definitely bring that some into the team. So we've got to make it work. I know it's difficult, but, you know, I think that's one thing we have done this season with the coaches is try and be a little bit more transparent with it. And I feel like we are reaping the benefits from it.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's a tough balancing act. And it's one of those that obviously a few clubs in the league have their relationships. You see, obviously, Bedford have a relationship with Saints and there's a few relationships going. So all the clubs find it difficult. But one thing I have to say, I've never said it on the podcast before, I let Ross finish up the interview with, is in my whole time at Amptill, you have to give credit to every single Saracens lad who came down. I'm sure it's the same this year. Were absolutely sensational. Like, it's not an easy place to come and buy in because they're used to what they get at St Albans and the Saracens' way of things and brilliant facilities. And you come to Amptill and there's loads of brilliant things about Amptill, but no one will sit here and try and argue the facilities are the best thing in the world. So I always want to give credit. Like in my time there, I'm sure it's the same for you. The Saracens boys always come in and have just been phenomenal. They just get on with it and buy in completely. That was my experience with them anyway.
Yeah, 100%. It's been the same this year. Like we've had a lot of the younger boys for the full season this year. Tobias Elliott, Brandon Jackson. You know, they've brought some real quality to the side. They're never moaning. You know, they don't train really on a Thursday, on a Tuesday, but come Thursday, they're ready to go. And like you say, they always come with a good attitude and you know, they really do bring some into the team. So long may it continue.
I just think while we're on that, in terms of this podcast and what we try and do is to try and, you know, spread the word about the championship. We always address the situation of how tier two is going to look, especially at the moment, as we don't know. I think we had an update recently to say there was no update effectively. But in terms of the direction of this league and the importance of those Premiership relationships, how important do you think that could be to someone like Amptill moving forward as they sort of try to improve the infrastructure, but they've got that quality on the pitch?
Yeah, I think it's huge. Like I say, I think it's really benefited us this season. You know, without the Saris boys, our squad is quite small. So, you know, we do kind of rely on these boys coming in and, you know, it's beneficial for them. Like, you know, coming from an academy myself back home, like you're not really given the chance to play. That's how I always felt. Whereas the relationship we have with Saris now, you've got the next generation playing week in, week out in a league as good as the championship. Like, you know, this is a quality league at the end of the day. So for boys to be picking up valuable minutes, it's only going to better them going forward. And, you know, Amptill get a lot out of it. Saracens get a lot out of it. So, you know, I think it's a really beneficial partnership that, you know, obviously other championship clubs use as well. So, yeah, for me, it's quality.
Just to finish, I suppose, from my point of view, unless Charlie wants to add anything at the end, it's a tight league sort of throughout. There's obviously a few gaps at the bottom that Ealing maybe have got a bit of a gap at the top, but there is every chance that can change with a lot of rugby to be played. What do you think will happen, how this league's going to pan out? Obviously, Amptill have had a big say in the title race if it becomes one, knocking off, you know, three of the top four, three of the top five, if you like. And who do you see going on to win it, I suppose?
I think you've only got to look at this weekend. I think this weekend is going to be huge, Ravine coming down to you on a Friday night. I think if Pirates can play like they normally do at home, then there's a win there for them as well then. And that really will swing the door open for Coventry and Pirates really to really make a title challenge. So, you know, I'd quite similar to last season. It was great to see Jersey win the league last season. I'd probably like to see someone else win it this year. So, you know, for me, I think, especially when we played Coventry away, I think that's probably the strongest team we've played this year. You know, they really, really showed us how it's done in the second half when we played them away. So, you know, I'd probably like to see them lift it. But, you know, Pirates is a great club as well. So, you know, just someone different. It's good to see new names within the league and, you know, it keeps it exciting. So, I say, I think this weekend is going to be huge on that.
Absolutely. Well, Morgan, absolutely brilliant to have you on. Congratulations on last week. Best of luck for this weekend and the rest of the season. And like we say to everyone, we'll hopefully get you on here again soon.
Brilliant. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, Strongy.
As we said, on to round 16 and four games on a Friday night this week. Unusual to see, but good to see some potential bigger crowds under the Friday night lights. I know a lot of the supporters enjoy that. Hoping for a big one down here at Pirates. We'll talk about that in a minute. Charlie, no game for Doncaster this week. So back into impartiality mode for you, mate. And starting off with two teams you like to sing the praises of from an attacking perspective in Nottingham and Bedford.
0-0. This one will be 0-0. And anyone who's listened to our previous podcast will know why I'm predicting that. Last time I predicted a tri-fest down at Lady Bay, it finished 3-0 to Hartbury. But no, you'd hope this will be a good running game. My only concern is what the Nottingham pitch will be like. They obviously had their horrible flooding earlier in the season, which the ground staff did an incredible job to get that pitch playable again at all. But it hasn't really stopped raining since then. So I reckon it'll be a muddy one down there, which could stem the attacking flow of both sides. But I was talking to producer Ryan off air earlier of the ridiculous threat that both back lines have. So hopefully a good spectacle of rugby down there on Friday night.
We'll talk on to some rain and some mud in a minute from as I can hear it coming down here in Penzance. But on to Scottish and Hartbury, the next fixture up on a Friday night. The Rag will be pumping on a Friday night. And depending on how their side looks at the time of recording, that could be a bit of a humdinger, a bit of a points fest.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I think it was a high scoring one. Up at the Hartbury Rugby Arena or Stadium, I think it's called at the moment. It's changing name all the time. That I struggled to keep up. It was a high score one at Hartbury. I think Hartbury ran off to a big lead, didn't they? And then Scottish almost nipped it coming back. So hopefully another good game there. But yeah, Hartbury will be looking to take some points from Scottish, who obviously are bottom of the table at the moment, and look to keep the pressure on that top four, top five. The Hartbury are really nipping at the heels of at the moment.
Yeah, and on to Coventry and Cambridge, another Friday night game. Obviously, don't want to be disrespectful to Cambridge in any way, but Coventry really do seem to have found their form at the moment. You'd imagine they get a big crowd at the BPA. You'll be doing your predictions in the coming days or so, but Coventry have really got to keep the foot on the throat of Ealing there, haven't they?
Yeah, you'd expect a big crowd on a Friday night at the BPA, as you say, which would be good. And yeah, Coventry basically need to just be getting 5 points every week and hoping Ealing slip up now, really. I'm sure yourself and Coventry are both thinking the same there. So it's kind of that point this season now where nothing but five will do for Cov every week. I'm sure they're aware of that, and that's what they'll be going after this week against Cambridge. Now, come on then, you alluded to it. How wet and muddy is it down in Cornwall at the moment?
Very wet and very muddy. I'm in the hospitality marquee at the moment, and I can hear the rain coming down. The pitch has actually held up surprisingly well. It's quite firm. We were out there this morning having a look, and there's some boggy patches. But, you know, we've said about that on this show lots of times. It's got to be something we use to our advantage, especially against a quality outfit like Ealing, who will be coming to town a bit pissed off, probably with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, maybe refocused. You know, they've rotated a bit last week. They've brought some more strength in this week. But at the same time, we want to make life as difficult as possible for them. We've trained for that this week. And yeah, there's a big opportunity for both teams. Ealing can pull away or we can pull them in. So yeah, it promises to be a really, really entertaining game. It is live stream, the only one in the championship this week. And yeah, hopefully a big crowd. And we finally move on to the last game of the weekend on the Saturday. And we obviously spoke to Strongy a minute ago. It's going to be an attritional battle up on the Wirral, Coldy and Ampdale.
Yeah, I think it'll be a real, real tough one. It's a tough place to go. We went there twice last season with Ampdale. Lost one and won one with an 81st minute kick. So it's always tight between the teams, as Morgan said. They've knocked them off twice, Coldy, so far this season. So Ampdale will have something to prove. And it would be, as Strongy alluded to in the last few seasons, it would be classic Ampdale to beat Ealing and then not get the job done against Coldy the week after. But with my ex-Ampdale hat on, I obviously hope that isn't the case. But we will see. Just going back to your game, I think you can see from Ealing's team selection with David O'Connor, who's an out-and-out second row, very, very good player, Doc, in the back row playing six. They know the sort of game they're coming down to and expect. I was also surprised to see Barney Madsen not on the bench. Barney's one of the veterans of the league, which I think someone referred to me as that the other day. He said, you're a real veteran of the league now. And I went to kind of protest and I went, oh no, I am now. I think I've got about 120 games we worked out with this. So I think I've become a veteran of the league now, but in the mud where Moore's going to be a huge part of it, I'd have Barney Madsen starting, but interesting, Wardy's not gone that way. But I think, like I say, with Doc in the back row and 3 second rows on the pitch, you can see the type of game that you're preparing for. But it's a hard, hard task coming down to the Pirates on a short week, a short turnaround, and in this weather, it's going to be a hell of a game down there. This is where I'm annoyed you're not closer to everyone else. I can't just nip down and watch. Like, and if I didn't have work, if I wasn't commentating, I'd be on that live stream because it'll be a stunner of a game, maybe one for the purists. But
you're 20 minutes away from Land's End, mate. I don't think anyone will hold it against you for not coming down here too often. It's
yeah, and no one's just nipping down, are they? No one's thinking I'll pop down for the Pirates game this weekend.
They are not to deepest, darkest Cornwall. That'll do us for this week. Charlie, are looking forward to your predictions this week in particular. Very intrigued to see which way you go with that one. Make sure you're following us on the socials to check them out. Check out Team of the Week. Check out the Moment of the Week coming next week. And big thanks to Charlie as ever. Producer Ryan and Morgan Strong for coming on. And we'll be back very
Producer
soon.
Producer Ryan, who's running the Paris Marathon this weekend. So good luck, Ryan, running around Paris. He's buzzing because he's going to see the Paris Saint-Germain game on Saturday as well. He was telling me all about it earlier. So good luck, Ryan.
Good luck, Ryan. Yeah, he's been taking his electrolytes on and carbo loading during the pod. So good job he's been on mute because I wouldn't have wanted to hear that. But great stuff, Ryan, and all the best.
That was the Championship Clubs podcast. Be sure to come back in a fortnight's time and follow us on social media at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.